So I'm going to be presenting a paper that I wrote for as part of my master's program at Master's in Nursing and Public Health at the University of Illinois at Chicago. I had been interested in Paulo Freire's work for quite some years, and so I decided to take an elective that was offered outside nursing and public health in the education department at UIC. The course was called Critical Pedagogy, Practice and Theory, the Work of Paulo Freire. And I should add the caveat that I am not currently a nursing professor, but I've spent many, many years as a nursing student, and obviously as a nurse, education plays a big part in my work, both in the hospital and in the community. I should also add that I'm going to basically be talking at you for 15 minutes, which is not at all how, you know, a Freirean-type education would happen, but so I welcome your, you know, input, ideas, and comments at the end. I'd love to hear what you think. I have no relationships to disclose. And so one thing also that I've learned in, as I've learned about Paulo Freire and I've talked about him with some of my colleagues and friends, is that some people, when I mention the name, he needs no introduction. People are really, really aware of who he is. And in other circles, when I mention his name, people have not heard of him at all. So I don't want to assume that all of you know who Paulo Freire is. So I'm just going to give a very, very brief introduction in the few minutes I have. So Paulo Freire was born in 1927 in Recife, Brazil. He started his sort of career as a literacy educator working with poor farm workers. And he was also a very prolific writer. His most famous book is probably Pedagogy of the Oppressed, which some of you may have heard of. But he also wrote a number of other books, including Pedagogy of Hope, Pedagogy of the City, Education and Democracy. There's a whole bunch of books that he wrote, very, not as well known, but also very, very important. For many years, he lived in exile outside of Brazil because his work and his style of teaching was thought to be too subversive by the government at the time. And actually, for 2 years in 1969 to 1970, he was a visiting professor at Harvard University. And he died in 1997. So Paulo Freire's work has had a huge influence on public health, community development, and many other fields. And especially if you've ever heard of popular education or participatory action research, both of those fields draw heavily from his work. So I'm going to jump right into talking about how Freire's ideas can be applied to public health nursing and public health nursing education. Now, the paper I wrote for this was much longer than this 15 minutes, and so there's a lot of areas where his work could be applied that I'm not going to be able to touch on. So for those of you who are Freire gurus and notice areas that I don't mention, I apologize. I also included on the slides a number of quotations, and I'm going to read a lot of quotations by Freire, because I find sometimes some of his ideas are not shockingly new, but the way he phrases things, for me at least, helps. Brings a new way of understanding some ideas that are old. So the first thing I want to talk about is an important theme in Freire's work is the impact of oppression on both the oppressed and the oppressor. In a paper on critical pedagogy in nursing education, a nurse named Jane Harden argued that we have become both the oppressed and the oppressor at one and the same time. One phrase that Freire uses to describe the oppressed is beings for others. And I feel like there's hardly another phrase that could be better used to describe nursing at times than that. Nursing is traditionally a female occupation, and many of the same sort of devalued characteristics associated with women are often associated with nursing. That first characteristic is caring for the vulnerable, caring for others. Many of our grand nursing theories, including Watson's theory of human care and Leininger's theory of culture care, are all based around this idea of caring. And I would argue that sometimes within the nursing profession, our attempts to distance ourselves from that caring role come from a place that Freire calls interiorization of the dominant ideology by the dominated themselves. So rather than demanding respect for our work as caregivers, we attempt to medicalize, professionalize, and to sort of reframe nursing practice rather than demanding respect for that work. Another symptom of our oppression, according to Freire, he refers to horizontal violence. I'm sure a lot of us have heard of this term, and it's widely known to be a problem among nurses. Ferry builds upon Fanon's work when he said, "Chafing under the restrictions of this order, they often manifest a type of horizontal violence, striking out at their own comrades for the pettiest reasons." And while obviously this is not always the case, when nurses feel unable to assert themselves to unfair managers or faculty members or physicians in practice, they often resort to bullying amongst each other and other forms of violence. Nurses can also be perpetrators of oppression, or at least complicit in this current situation of oppression. As nurses, we often hold positions of power over very vulnerable individuals and communities. Also our role is often of charity. As a pediatric ICU nurse, I do not diminish or devalue the role of caring for individual people that are suffering or in their need, but I also think that we are able to feel good about ourselves because we care for people in that situation who are made sick by an oppressive society, even when we're not doing anything to try to change the situation that made them sick in the first place. Ferry is very critical of false charity. He describes this when he says, "False charity constrains the fearful and subdued, the rejects of life, to extend their trembling hands. True generosity lies in striving so that these hands, whether they're of individuals or entire peoples, need to be extended less and less in supplication." I believe that as nurses we need to consider how we can work so that the vulnerable people we work with no longer need our charity. So another one of the really central messages in Ferry's work is that education is political. Often education is believed to be political only when a professor is very openly descriptive of their sort of ideological position. But Ferry argues that the insidious nature of ideology is its ability to make itself invisible. So he argues that the fundamental issue is politics. It has to do with which content gets taught, to whom, in favor of what or whom, against what, against whom, and how it gets taught. So whether unconscious or conscious, when faculty or entire curriculum are developed discussing health disparities without mentioning racism or residential segregation, or talking about obesity without talking about food justice or food insecurity, that's a political decision, whether it's left in or left out. And Ferry offers an alternative approach to hiding our political opinions between us and students. He said, "In the name of the respect I should have towards my students, I do not see why I should omit or hide my political stance by proclaiming a neutral position that does not exist. On the contrary, my role as a teacher is to assent the students' right to compare, to choose, to rupture, or to decide." Also, I'm going to talk a little bit about some nursing theory. The meta-paradigm of nursing puts forth environment as one of the four central concerns of nursing practice, of nursing. The way that environment is discussed in nursing is a political decision also. In my experience, a discussion of political systems, capitalism, racism, sexism, and other ideological systems is largely absent from this discussion of environment. Public health nursing tends to put more of an emphasis on the social determinants of health as compared with some of the other specialties in nursing. But even then, this discussion is often depoliticized, as I sort of mentioned before. We discuss culture instead of racism, and socioeconomic status instead of poverty. These decisions to depoliticize the discussions of social determinants of health are political, as Ferry would argue. Ferry also frequently discusses the dialectical relationship between environmental influences on people's decisions and individual freedom to make decisions. And by dialectical, I mean that on the one side, that both of those things are true. Environment does influence our decisions, but we also have freedom. And both of those are true, and they're also not entirely true. And they exist together in tension. And so it's sort of, you have to hold this balance, I guess, between the two. I think sometimes public health nurses and public health practitioners in general can err towards the side of an undue influence of environmental determinism, believing that if we just put the right policies in place, everybody would act the way we want them to, or would make the right health decisions. Whereas, and Freire would argue that people can overcome their circumstances. People have freedom to decide and choose. On the other poll, there's a tendency I find sometimes among more acute care nurses, from my experience, to blame individual patients for their poor decision making. And this also is a flawed position. As Freire would argue, we know ourselves to be conditioned but not determined. And he further elaborates by saying, as women and men, we are not simply determined by facts and events. At the same time, we are subject to genetic, cultural, social, class, sexual, and historical conditionings that mark us profoundly and that constitute for us a center of reference. So I think that we as public health nurses have an important role in sort of demonstrating that this is a dialectical relationship and that those two things are in tension, and we always need to be sort of considering both issues. I'm going to mention a few phrases that I hear sometimes in my work. I just work here. I'm just a student. I can't say anything. I'm just a nurse. How many of you have heard nurses say these types of things? In my experience, when nurses are confronted with unsafe practice or unfair management, they often express resignation using statements like these. Nurses do not always feel empowered to question or challenge authority, and so over time can become resigned. They stop believing that things can change, and they stop being able to see why things are the way they are, to understand the reality, their reality, or the reality of their patients. Another symptom of oppression that Freire discusses is that the oppressed are so immersed in their situation that they cannot imagine another way and cannot perceive the reasoning for their situation. In order to learn and grow and change the system, Freire explains that the oppressed must stand at a distance from the daily lives in which they are generally immersed and to which they often attribute an aura of permanence. Education has the potential to either help or hinder a student's ability to question or to look for these deeper reasons. In Pedagogy of the City, he says, in a competent conservative educational practice, one searches through the teaching of content to hide the raison d'etre of a sizable number of social problems. In a progressive educational practice, also competent, one searches through the teaching of content to unveil the reasons behind these problems. The first tries to accommodate, to adapt the learners to a world that is given. The second tries to make the students unquietly critical. We need to teach nurses to be unquietly critical, to constantly ask deeper questions, to understand what we see in practice. So a couple implications for public health nursing. I've worked for about 9 years at an inner city safety net hospital here in Chicago. And when I first started working there as a new grad nurse, I thought that everybody that I worked with there would be really intentional about wanting to work there and would be conscious of the conditions that our patients live in. That was not often the case. Many of my coworkers were very jaded working there. And by working there, they just had many of their worst prejudices about poor communities of color reinforced and confirmed. Nurses are often too immersed in their daily work to be able to take a step back and question. The close experiences nurses have of caring for the most oppressed members of our society, to me, feels like a great opportunity to motivate action for social change. But unless we're taught to step back and question and become angry about what we see, there's a huge lost opportunity. We need to teach nurses to question us, to question faculty, to question physicians, to question the status quo, to be constantly searching for the deeper reason for what they see, for the ill health of their patients. We need to encourage questioning rather than presenting the world in black and white with right and wrong answers. We need to stimulate the certainty of never being too certain, as Freire said. As public health nurses with a deeper understanding of the social determinants of health, we have a role in bringing a broader discussion to the discussion of environment that's taught in nursing curriculum. And as Freire said, the conflict lies in the choice between following prescriptions or having choices, between being spectators or actors, between acting or having the illusion of acting through the action of the oppressors, between speaking out or being silent. Thank you. I have a list of references if anybody is interested. Thank you.